Jesus entered a world that was haunted with demons. Nowadays, we seldom use that word, but at the same time, we do see the demonic all about us today. The demonic is simply anything that brings harm to ourselves or to others. Nowadays, it is the brutal striving for power by the insecure and the frightened. And that is just as typical in a village community as it would be in a multinational corporation. Today, this obsession with self in this me generation is just as doomed to failure as the Treaty of Versailles, signed in the Hall of Mirrors rather than a Hall of Windows. The questions we hear all around us today, what will it do for me? How will I benefit? And that is why so often education becomes simply job training, rather than learning more about the mystery of life. Today, the volunteer of a nonprofit agency is quickly vanishing. The self has become all. We see it, of course, in so many art forms. A good example would be the current self-indulgent pop music. We wonder if it's possible that punk rock and modern rock actually would become the wave of the future. The unfortunate fact is that so many young people today are attracted to it because it makes fun of almost everything that is so precious in life. Even Amanda Plummer, a brilliant young actress on Broadway, admitted to becoming very curious about this musical fad, and after listening to it, she said, "There is no sense of hope in that kind of music. The words make fun of the most precious elements of life, the heart and love." She said, "That kind of music is anti-life, anti-music. There's no dream in that music, only futility." The world of demons haunted the time that Jesus was here in earth. And so today, our own world. Sometimes these demons are of our own making, as we people try to be something that we are not, the center of the universe. And that kind of a quest can only lead to frustration, to futility, and even to rage. For the self, by itself, is described by St. Paul as a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. But the power of God working through Jesus that we see from the very beginning of his ministry, as we did last Sunday, that power brought about liberation of the self from all those demons of self-preoccupation with the past, the present, and the future. That is something that we are not able to do for ourselves. And if we try, the attempt only focuses even more attention on the very source of the problem, which is self. I cannot save myself by myself. It is only when I allow the Spirit of the Lord to sit in the director's chair of my life that I truly become free. Only then can I become healed and restored to sanity. The fact that we allow this to happen so very seldom is apparent. All we need to do is look around us. Sometimes we're even led to agree with the words of George Bernard Shaw when he said, "It seems at times this earth is merely the insane asylum for the other planets." But today in the Holy Gospel, we saw that little congregation in the synagogue at Capernaum, where Jesus, the teacher, the rabbi, had come to teach. So do we, when we gather for the Eucharist, see reality. We become aware by the living Word of God that the healing power of our God is still alive and well and living in all the parts of this broken world, wherever people are willing to admit that power into their hearts, so that God can work through them as God worked through our Savior Jesus Christ. Today, in this time of rising nationalism, we see continually the same problems, the same non-solutions. It is frantic effort to build more bombers rather than spend the money restoring lives. The inner strength of our nation begins to crumble. For what we sow, we will always reap, pressed down and filled to overflowing. That is the paradox. And what is true of nations also becomes true of us as individuals. Perhaps that is why wherever Jesus went and spoke and taught, he always would stir things up. For he not only spoke and taught, he also acted with power, with the power of God working through him. That is the same power available right now to each one of us. And that possibly could startle us when we begin to realize the implications. The same power of God can work through us as it did in Jesus. For we are in him, and he in us. And that is why in the first reading from Deuteronomy this morning, God says to Moses, the prophet, that through all generations of the life of this earth, there will always be true prophets that will rise up to speak the truth. Today, now in the perspective of only a few decades of time, it becomes rather obvious, I think, that Martin Luther King Jr. was that kind of a prophet, a person who acted out the truth. He did not just speak words. And just like the prophets of old, he too landed in jail. On one kind of occasion, he wrote a letter, the letter from the Birmingham City Jail, wrote it to the very clergymen in that city who objected to his presence there in their community. And in one poignant section of that letter, he states his despair for the church, even though, he says, he himself remains totally committed to the gospel values of his church. But he pleads with the other ministers in that town to become headlights and not taillights down the dark road to social justice. The same power of our God to liberate, to free individuals and nations from themselves is also available to the church, which so often is preoccupied with self as institution. The question, of course, this morning is, how do we, ordinary people, receive? How do we, ordinary people, receive that kind of power? Jesus tells us in today's gospel, in simple words, he turns toward the person who wants to be cured of the demonic spirit, and all Jesus says is, be silent, be quiet. Listen. Pray. Listen. Be silent. And you will hear the word of the Lord in your heart. And the demon will leave. All of our pleas for self-justification and self-importance have very little point in the presence of Jesus. When the Word of God is proclaimed, we are hushed into silence, for the Word of God enters our heart and speaks to each of us in a different way. And when we receive the communion, the bread broken, all of the noisy babble stops, for we discover that we become humbly silent in the powerful presence of our God. We become aware, by hearing the word and eating the bread, of the power of the only one who can purge our lives today of all those demons that seek to possess us. And that is why the Eucharist is so correctly named. It is Thanksgiving. It is through the power of the Eucharist, the Word of God, the bread of God, that we people today are cleansed of our demons. We are set free here. We are liberated. We are put in touch with the one and only power that is able to make us whole. And that is exactly what salvation means. Wholeness. Health of the inner life of spirit. Literally it means Eucharist. Lord God, we thank you when we gather to be healed by your power. That's the Eucharist and Sunday, but what about our day-to-day lives? How do we avoid, overcome the demons of the anxieties of our life? St. Paul tells us to keep our eyes on the Lord. We can't always do that every moment. Even Peter sank into the water. But remember, Peter sank only after he was frightened by the wind. And he moved his eyes away from looking at Jesus. But until then, he walked on the waters of the stormy sea, and the waves could not envelop him as long as he looked toward the Lord. Today we people look into the face of the Lord, and we always know and discover that we are loved. It is that healing love that will always cleanse us. Strengthen us to live selflessly in this broken world, which is still so deeply loved by our God.